Give you a prayers this week regarding my sinus operation. Very minor operation. They said out of action for 7 to 10 days, Russell, don't pick up anything. Don't wind in any kingfish or anything like that. You know, don't bow down and bend your heads down low. And they gave me a packet of painkillers. I don't know how many was in the packet, but it was monstrous. And I've used about 7 painkillers since the operation. I mean, I was so healthy. By Sunday afternoon, I'm praying about the church. By Monday, I'm typing Simon and the elders a 9-page letter of things that are on my heart that I'm getting through prayer. So, you know, I've had a wonderful week. And so thank you for your prayers with regard to that. It's been awesome. One of my great delights as a pastor, too, is to do pre-marriage and marriage counselling and to help young people with dating. And I'm going to talk to Pastor Stephen about the next series we do in the evening, but that's probably going to be it. Hot tips for dating and for marriage, you know, because it's something I'm passionate about. When I came to this church, I gave Hillary my copy of my DIY marriage manual, if you like. I don't know how many pages it is. You know, within just a few hours, she edited everything, reloaded things to YouTube, just got that set up so well. It's an amazing tool, but it's something I'm really, really passionate about. It's marriage. Interesting, though, when it comes to marriage, what the Bible advises us for marriage and what Kiwis say you should do in marriage are very, very different. You know, when I talk to people and they say, you know, I'm having this problem in my marriage, and you look on Facebook about what advice they're getting, it's kind of like follow your heart, do what feels right to you, and I think that's just so wrong. The Bible actually says do what's right, not what your feelings say, but what's right in God's Word. Treat your spouse, treat that girl you're getting engaged to the way that God tells you to treat them. Feelings can let you down. Man, if you have too much pizza, feelings can let you down, you know, the next day. If your kids keep you up at night all night, feelings can let you down. You might feel like loving nobody, you know. And if you trust feelings, sometimes feelings are going to be an echo of the past. You're going to hit a situation and go, oh, this is just like that. And if you trust your feelings, you're going to miss the mark. But if you take what God says in His Word and says, this is how I'm to treat my fiance, this is how I'm to treat my girlfriend, my boyfriend, this is how I'm to treat my husband, my wife, that will come through for you every time. If you do what's right in God's eyes, feelings will follow the right choice, and so will the supernatural blessing of God. I want to talk this morning about choosing to believe the truth, because we're living in a culture that says, just go with your feelings, do what feels right to you. And I want to say to you, faith is simply choosing to believe the truth. And if you're agreeing with God, things are going to happen in your marriage, happen in your family, happen with your kids and your grandkids that wouldn't have otherwise happened. If you just agree with God, take God at His word and start living it out and speaking it out. There is a God in heaven who made us. Your feelings tell you, maybe I'm unworthy. Your feelings maybe tell you, look, you couldn't do that thing for God or do that thing for your family or that project within business. But God says you're more than able to do it. He says He believes in you. And if He says you're gifted and you're called, and God puts His call and His commission upon your life, feelings are irrelevant. What He says is true. What He claims in His word is true, and we need to agree with Him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because everyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, and He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. When your feelings disagree with God's word, it's time to exercise faith and say, I'm not going with my feelings, I'm going with the word of God. I'm going with truth. In a letter to the church in Rome, Paul wrote that nothing can separate us from the love of God, and that's absolutely true. God is faithful, He's always with you, He'll never let you go. A believer in Melbourne was transferred from this planet to a heavenly home. There was never a scary moment, never a dark moment. Never an awful moment. God was with her. It'd be like walking through a big wide open door and you see heaven before you even get there. God's faithful. But our feelings don't tell us that. Our feelings tell us often that we can't do. We're not good enough. And we need to just agree with God. Paul said to the church in Rome, imitate those who are mature. When we see people who are good at getting people saved, who seem to be blessed in their business, who see a lot of miracles upon their lives daily, what we tend to do as Kiwis is we want to buy the book, we want to get the DVD, we want to do the seminar, you know. And what we should be doing is saying, those people that are moving in the kingdom supernaturally, what are they doing? How are they imitating faith? How are they applying faith to everyday life? That's the question we should ask. Not shall I follow them and do the program, but how are they applying scripture to their lives practically? Hebrews 13, verse 7 says, don't forget your leaders who taught you God's message. Remember what kind of lives they lived and try and have faith like theirs. Living a Holy Spirit-filled, dynamic Christian life where God events happen all the time. It's not about whose ministry you sat under or who prayed for you or which evangelist has passed through town. It's about having faith in God one day at a time. So what is faith? If you're following with me in your outline, can I just give us Steve Goss' definition? It's really simple and very, very good. What is faith? It's choosing to believe what is already true. It's choosing to believe what's already true. Now, people tell you, I believe this, I believe that, I believe the sky's purple, whatever it is. I had a wonderful time at Frontline at youth group the other night, and there was a guy in youth group, in Matthew's group, that was pretty hard case, Buddhist extraction. Pretty hard case. Like, well, I don't believe this and that and this. I've got my own convictions. But your own convictions are only true if they're actually true. If I say the sky is purple, but really it's different shades of blue, it's still different shades of blue, you know? So believing, faith, is choosing to believe what is already true. 30 years ago, there was a guy who wrote some diaries. I don't know if you remember them, going way back with me, Adrian Plass. Did anybody read those back 30 years ago? He was hard case. And what he did was in his diaries sort of illustrate for us how silly we are about faith sometimes. I'm going to read to you a couple of days from his diary. If faith is choosing to believe what is already true, Adrian Plass did not do this on the week beginning January the 6th. He says in his diary, bought a really good book on faith. It's called Goodness Gracious, In God's Name, What on Earth Are We Doing for Heaven's Sake? Which I thought was a very witty title. It's all about how Christians should be able to move mountains by faith if they are really tuned into God. Very inspiring. Waited till there was no one in the room. Then practiced with a paperclip. Put it on my desk and stared at it, willing it to move. Nothing. Tried commanding it to move in a loud voice, still nothing. Tuesday, January the 7th. Had another go with a paperclip tonight. Really took authority over it. Couldn't get it to budge. Told God I'd give up anything he wanted if he'd just move that paperclip an inch. Nothing. Or rather worrying, really. If you only need faith the size of a mustard seed to move a mountain, what hope is there for me when it can't even get a paperclip to do what it's told? Saturday, January the 11th. Got up early to have one last go at that blasted paperclip. Ended up hissing viciously at it, trying not to wake anybody up. When I gave up and opened the door, I found Anne and Gerald listening outside in their night clothes, looking quite anxious. Anne said, darling, why did you tell a paperclip you'd straighten it up if it didn't get its act together? We look at Adrian Plass and we look at what Christians do and we think faith is some mystical thing, something we've got to conjure up and make happen, and people do bizarre things. But faith is really simple. Faith is just agreeing with God. Did God tell Adrian Plass to move a paperclip one day in his office? I don't think so. If God had given that revelation, this is what I want you to do. I want you to pray for that sick person to get healed. I want you to prophesy life over that little kid. If God had given a revelation from his word or a rhema word from God and they acted in faith on that revelation, miracles would happen. But when we just try and do things because it's a good idea, you know, I want to try and use this mystical thing called faith, things don't happen. We've got to agree with God and agree with God's will. There's the most amazing story in the Old Testament where Elijah takes on the prophets of Baal. Altars are built, sacrifices are put on the altar. Both Elijah and the prophets of Baal believing that their god or gods will send down fire to consume the altar. The prophets of Baal had no success. Well, Elijah's God sent the fire. Now, both people believed. The prophets of Baal believed that their gods would send the fire to consume the altar. They weren't believing on what is true. They had a subjective faith based on what they believed, their own religion, their own ideas, whereas Elijah was believing on the one true God of the Bible. And because he believed in truth, miracles happened. The fire came down, consumed the altar, consumed the water. I've often looked through the Old Testament and thought, wow, these guys had incredible faith. Elijah had amazing faith. But I think the scariest story in the whole Old Testament is when Moses offers up his son to be sacrificed. When God says, Moses, I want you to offer up your son to be sacrificed. And I look at him. Oops, hang on, I've lost my place completely, haven't I, guys? Abraham, thank you for that. Thank you for that. It's middle age. Can I blame the anesthetic for that one? I don't know. It's probably a bit too late. Abraham. You know, Abraham offers his child up to be sacrificed. And I think that would be the scariest thing of all the things in the Old Testament. Imagine God saying, offer your child to be sacrificed. And of course, God provides the lamb. And Abraham doesn't have to sacrifice his child. Now look at his faith, being willing to do it. And I think, wow, Abraham, you had such great faith. But how did he have that faith? It didn't come overnight. It didn't happen instantly. He spent a lifetime listening to God and obeying the will of God. A lifetime. He spent a lifetime hearing the word of God, the revealed word of God, and obeying it, stepping out in faith. That's how he got that faith. That's how faith grew to that extent. Faith in our idea doesn't work. Faith in my will doesn't work, but faith in the one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever always works. It's about who we place our faith in. If I were to ask you the question, who would like to increase their faith today? We'd all put our hands up. I'd like to increase my faith. I'd like to be used more of God for miracles and for healing and the supernatural. And yet the issue is not how we increase our faith. It's who we focus our faith on. It's not how good am I, how much have I learned, how much have I studied, how much faith am I conjuring up. It's who my faith is focused on. Jesus is the ultimate truth. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's absolutely real. When I've seen the biggest healing miracles in my life, it's not been because Russell felt particularly anointed or Russell had a huge amount of faith for a situation. It's when God's told me, I'm going to touch that person. And when I've prayed according to your love, the craziest miracle I ever had was back when I was about 26 years of age. There was a huge man who I went and witnessed to. He totally rejected Christ. So his wife died of cancer at 21. So I want nothing to do with you, God. I don't believe you. And as I left his house and I walked down the stairs of his house, I had this little whisper in my head, ask him what his need is. So I said, Ron, what's your biggest need? He said, I'm going blind. And I just put my thumbs on his eyes like that because I had no faith. And I wanted to just get out of there quickly. I said, God, could you love him? Would you heal him? Do you know what happened? That man turned up at church next week without glasses. He never wore glasses again. I've seen him 10 years down the track. He's still driving without glasses. It wasn't based on how much faith I had or how great I am or how anointed I am. It was based purely on the goodness of God. When you put your faith not in a thing or in yourself, but in how good God is and how consistently loving and true Jesus is, miracles begin to happen. How much faith we have will be determined by how well we know the one we're putting our faith in. See, the secret to growing faith is not to learn 1,000 scriptures or to try and be like Catherine Coleman or something. The secret to having great faith is getting really tuned in to the one who loves you, who died in your place. And to tune in your heart and your ears to his whispers 24/7. And when you hear that voice and you practice stepping out, saying, yes, God, I will. Yes, God, I'll say something. Yes, God, I'll give that. Yes, God, I'll pray for that person. That's when you see the miraculous happen and your faith grows more and more. God is truth and it's his role to reveal truth. And our role is to choose to believe truth. And that's how you grow your faith. Faith comes not just from hearing, it comes from stepping out and acting on that faith as well. Now, friends, I've come to realize very quickly that this is a very generous church. And there are a lot of people in this church, I would guarantee, who down through the years have heard a whisper from God saying, give to that need, give to that mission, support that young family. And at the time when you've heard that whisper, you thought, heavens, that's going to be tight, that's going to be a challenge, it's going to be difficult. But when you stepped out and obeyed, God's turned up. And I bet there'd be 100 people at least in this room who could testify to that. You heard the word, you stepped out, and next time it becomes easier. And the next time it becomes easier again. In fact, living his way becomes exciting. I've known lots of Christians who are set free from their victimhood type mentality by simply believing what the Bible says. Deuteronomy 28 verse 13, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I will give you this day and carefully follow them. You'll always be at the top and not at the bottom. I've seen Christians who've been hurt, who've been wounded, who've suffered incredible injustices saying, you know what, God? I'm a co-laborer with you. You're my God. I'm your child. I have the Spirit of Christ in me. Therefore, I refuse to be a victim. I'm the head and not the tail. So God, together, let's shape the future. And they do. I've known Christians who've been healed. And more recently, someone in our church family, I felt this psalm was applicable to. When I've got the Psalm 118, verse 17, as a revelation from God, and God's turned up supernaturally. In Psalm 118, King David wrote, I will not die but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. I've seen people in hospital, I've seen people unwell and say, I just feel this is a word from God for me. And they'll start saying it and they'll start acting on it and a supernatural work of God turns up and their bodies get healed. I've known Christians who've gotten over their fear of public speaking and leading from the front in their organisations by simply believing 2 Timothy 1:7. God's Spirit doesn't make cowards of us. The Spirit gives us power, love, and self-control. You see, we need to hear the word. That's going to come in prayer and as we read the Bible, but then we need to act on it. When I'm hearing and acting, faith grows. Now, I love being a granddad. I've got 3 grandkids. And I guess little Anna, because we've been raising her since she was 3 or 4 months old, is special to me. And I can remember back to when she was about 18 months old and she's on my bed jumping up and down. And I said, Anna, jump to granddad. And she put her little arms out like this and she grabbed my arms and then jumped. So she wanted to make sure granddad caught her. So she grabbed my arms as sort of a backup plan, just in case granddad didn't. And so we did this for several days. And after a couple of weeks, a little gap's forming. She's saying, I'm going back maybe 500 mils. Jump. And she jumps. You know what she does now? If we're playing that game in our room now, I'll have to go back 3 metres. Not even Jeremy Brown can skip across that distance fast enough to catch a little one. And I say, she says, go back further, go back further, go back further. And I'm going to jump, granddad. And I say, honey, it's too far. Jump. And she jumps. How did she get to the place of trusting me to go 3 metres back? It's ridiculous. Because she took little steps of faith. She heard granddad's invitation. Jump, I'm going to catch you. You can trust me. So dad, granddad, you were faithful. So step back a bit further, granddad. A month later, step back a bit further, granddad. And now it's amazing what she believes I can do, which I can't, you know. She'll tell me to go way back halfway down the hallway. That's how faith grows. I hear the voice of God. I agree with God, not with my feelings. And I step out in the faith and act on it. That's how faith grows. People don't always live according to what they say they believe. They'll always live according to what they actually believe. And we need to when we're facing situations, when something's upsetting us, when God gives us a prompt to do something, to say something, to speak to that unsaved person, and feelings and thoughts are rushing through our heads, we need to take time and say, God, what do I really think about this? What do I really believe about this? Am I going to act on my feelings and previous experience? Am I going to act on what you say is true and step out in faith in this situation? I believe, friends, that there is no one in this church that cannot be very mature in Christ Jesus. I believe that there's no one in this church that's unable to resist temptation, scripturally. Every one of us can say no to sin. Every single one of us. I believe that there's no one here who cannot break free of depression and hopelessness when we start believing God's word over our feelings. That there's no one here who cannot break negative behaviors or get free of past hurts. There's nobody. If you have Christ in you and you start believing what the Bible says, all those things are possible. We don't need a special evangelist. We don't need a particularly anointed person to pray for us. We don't need to practice with a paperclip. We just need to get to know the one who's always the same, who's always faithful, just to love him back 24/7. And when he prompts us, say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. I'll jump. And next week, we jump a bit further. Next week, we jump a bit further. And before long, you begin to experience what it really is to live in the kingdom and the power of God dynamically upon your life. In your newsletter, friends, I want to just point you to the 20 Cans of Success by a man called Steve Goss. This is worth putting on your fridge. I won't read through it, but it's worth putting on your fridge. We're living in a secular society that says it's all about my self-esteem or my ability or my background or because I've been injured by these environmental things I can't do. I'm sorry, I don't accept that as a Christian. Yes, we need healing. Often we'll need counseling. For we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and that's a reality. And so these 20 cans are good. If you go through this and say, well, I struggle with public speaking, I struggle with dealing with that group of people, I struggle with anxiety, I struggle with fear, find the one that applies to you. And just start saying, God, I'm not going to agree with my feelings anymore. I'm not going to agree with what I've said and experienced in the past anymore. You are truth. And I'm going to start agreeing with you. And I'm going to start confessing with my mouth and living out with my actions that I agree with you. Church, would you stand with me, please? We're going to sing one closing song. and I'd like to pray for you. But I want to say this as we come to sing this last song. I utterly believe in the church at Whangarei Central Baptist that can know who they are in Christ Jesus, that can walk in a level of freedom and authority that'll come out of just trusting the Word of God and just loving on Jesus 24/7. Let's worship.